I want us to open our Bibles, please, in the book of Judges in the chapter 19. Judges chapter 19, let us follow the reading of God's precious word together. Solemn passage of God's infallible truth, and we've come to read it. We'll read part of it this morning. I trust and pray the Spirit of God will speak to us even as we meditate upon it. Judges chapter 19, commencing to read at verse number 1. And it came to pass in those days, when there was no king in Israel, that there was a certain Levite sojourning on the side of Mount Ephraim, who took to him a concubine out of Bethlehem, Judah. And his concubine played the whore against him, and went away from him unto her father's house to Bethlehem, Judah, and was there 4 whole months. And her husband arose and went after her to speak friendly unto her, and to bring her again, having a servant with him and a couple of asses. And she brought him into her father's house. And when the father of the damsel saw him, he rejoiced to meet him. And his father-in-law, the damsel's father, retained him. He abode with him 3 days, so they did eat and drink and lodge there. Came to pass on the 4th day, when they arose early in the morning, that he arose up to depart. Damsel's father said unto his son-in-law, comfort thine heart with a morsel of bread, and afterward go your way. And they sat down to eat and drink, both of them together. For the damsel's father had said unto the man, be content, I pray thee, and tarry all night, and let thine heart be merry. And when the man rose up to depart, his father-in-law urged him, therefore he lodged there again. He rose early in the morning on the 5th day to depart, and the damsel's father said, comfort thine heart, I pray thee. And they tarried until afternoon, and they did eat, both of them. And when the man rose up to depart, he and his concubine, his servant, his father-in-law, the damsel's father said unto him, behold, now the day draweth toward evening, I pray thee, tarry all night. Behold, the day groweth to an end, lodge here, that thine heart may be merry, and tomorrow get you early on your way, that thou mayest go home. The man would not tarry that night, but he rose up and departed and came over against Jebus, which is Jerusalem. And there were with him 2 asses saddled, his concubine also with him. And when they were by Jebus, the day was far spent. Servant said to his master, come, I pray thee, and let us turn into the city, this city of the Jebusites, and lodge in it. And his master said unto him, we will not turn aside hither into the city of a stranger that is not of the children of Israel. We will pass over to Gibeah. And he said unto his servant, come, and let us draw near to one of these places to lodge all night, in Gibeah or in Ramah. They passed on and went their way, and the sun went down upon them when they were by Gibeah, which belongeth to Benjamin. And they turned aside thither to go in and to lodge in Gibeah. And when he went in, he sat down in the street of the city, for there was no man that took them into his house to lodging. Behold, there came an old man from his work out of the field at even, which was also of Mount Ephraim, and he sojourned in Gibeah. But the men of the place were Benjamites. And when he had lifted up his eyes, he saw a wayfaring man in the street of the city, and the old man said, whither goest thou, and whence comest thou? He said unto him, we are passing from Bethlehem, Judah, toward the side of Mount Ephraim. From thence am I, and I went to Bethlehem, Judah, but I am now going to the house of the Lord. And there is no man that receiveth me to house. Yet there is both straw and provender for our asses. And there is bread and wine also for me, and for thy handmaid, and for the young man which is with thy servant. There is no want of anything. And the old man said, peace be with thee. Howsoever, let all thy want lie upon me, only lodge not in the street. So he brought him into his house, and gave provender unto the asses. And they washed their feet, and did eat and drink. Now as they were making their heart merry, behold, the men of the city, certain sons of Belial, beset the house round about, and beat at the door, and spake to the master of the house, the old man, saying, Bring forth the man that came into thine house, that we may know him. The man, the master of the house, went out unto them and said unto them, Nay, my brethren, nay, I pray you, do not so wickedly. Seeing that this man has come into mine house, do thou no folly. Behold, here is my daughter, a maiden and his concubine. Them will I bring out and humble them and do with them what seemeth good to thee, but unto this man do no, not so vile a thing. The men would not hearken to him, so the men took his concubine and brought her forth unto them, and they knew her and abused her all night until the morning, and when the day began to spring, they let her go. Then came the woman in the dawning of the day, fell down at the door of the man's house where her lord was till it was light. And her lord rose up in the morning and opened the doors of the house and went out to go his way. And behold, the woman, his concubine, was fallen down in the door of the house, and her hands were upon the threshold. And he said unto her, Up, and let us be going. But none answered. Then the man took her upon an ass, and the man rose up and got him onto his place. And when he has come into his house, he took a knife and laid hold on his concubine and divided her together with her bones in 12 pieces and sent her into the coast of Israel. And it was so that all that saw it said, There was no such deed done nor seen from the day that the children of Israel came up out of the land of Egypt unto this day. Consider it. Take advice and speak your mind. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before Thee in Jesus' precious name. We come to handle a solemn passage of Thy Word this morning, and Lord, for preacher, a difficult passage, and yet, Lord, we must be faithful to Thy truth. And we pray today that Thou will help us to honor Thee. Help us, our God, to listen to what Thy Word says, because Thy Word says, consider it, and take advice, and speak Thy mind. To this end, O God, I take that promise, Holy Ghost. That blessed power of Pentecost, O God, fill me to the uttermost. I take, Lord, undertake for me, and I pray this humbly and reverently, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. The events of chapters 19 to 21 of the book of Judges, and we're coming to the end of this book, represents, I believe, one of the worst periods in the history of Israel. Not long after Joshua passed away, this incident happened. And what we're seeing here is, even though they have conquered the land of promise, they have been richly blessed of the Lord, yet how quickly they fall into idolatry, and how quickly they fall into gross sin. And what we find is that the sins that engross this nation affect the lives of the people, affects the values of the people, and affects the actions of the people. To be honest, I could say that this is a difficult chapter, passage of God's Word. And I find that it is probably the most degrading story that is recorded in the Word of God. It is the story of a Levite. Someone set apart for God and God's worship. A Levite who takes a concubine. And who plays the harlot against him. And we find that the story will speak to us a number of the sins of this day and of this generation. I want you to notice, first of all, I believe that when you look at verse number 1, it says, It came to pass in those days there was no king in Israel, that there was a certain Levite sojourning in the side of Mount Ephraim, who took unto him a concubine out of Bethlehem, Judah, and his concubine played the whore against him and went away from him unto her father's house. And here I believe we see one of the first challenges of this day. You know, I believe the most blessed institution that God has given and God has made is the institution of marriage. But here we find that this Levite turns away from the institution of marriage and he takes a second wife. He takes a second woman. And he takes unto himself a concubine. I believe that one of the most vicious attacks that are against the people of God today and against the standards of any society is the attack that there is upon the family or upon the home. It's one of the most vicious attacks and one of the most vicious assaults that there is from hell itself. The Word of God says in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 22, "Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing, and he obtaineth favor of the Lord." And I believe that God puts us together in families. I believe there's a pattern for marriage. I believe that marriage was meant to make us happy. And the central part, indeed, is where God brings a man and brings a woman together, and God brings happiness into the home. Now, I know there are many negative attitudes to marriage today. I was reading this week, someone said that the first year of marriage, the man speaks to his wife. The second year, and his wife listens. Second year of marriage, the wife speaks to her husband, and her husband listens. And the third year of marriage, they both speak, and the neighbors listen. Now, friends, let me tell you this, that's a negative attitude towards marriage. Also read an interesting one when I was preparing. It says there was this man who said, "You know, my wife and I have a secret for a happy and a lasting marriage." He said, "In actual fact," he said, "two times every week we go to a nice restaurant for to have good food." He says, "I go on Tuesday and she goes on Friday." Friend, let me tell you this. There are those today that have got negative attitudes toward marriage, and yet I believe with all my heart that the most wonderful, blessed institution that God has given to mankind is the marriage bond. But sad to say that today the marriage vows and the marriage bonds are so easily broken. And it seems to be that it is so common in society. This attack upon the home and the establishment of that home. In the book of Genesis chapter 2, let us just read a moment in Genesis chapter 2 verse 18. It says, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that a man should be alone. And I will make him an helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. And for Adam there was not found an help meet for him. And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs, and he closed up the flesh inside thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And the man and Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." There we have the institution of marriage, the establishing of it, and the pattern for marriage. But friend, there's not only the pattern for marriage, there is the purity of marriage. Turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 13. And in the book of Hebrews chapter 13, it says in verse 1, "Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some entertain angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge." Notice, my friend, there's strong and powerful words here. He speaks about the whoremonger and he speaks about the adulterer. And God says concerning this, God will judge. The Word of God says in the book of Exodus chapter 20, thou shalt not commit adultery. And so we find that there is not only the pattern for marriage, there is the purity of marriage, and then there's the permanence of marriage. Seems to be today that man thinks that he can dismiss marriage and he can take it or he can leave it whenever he wants or however he wants. And yet the Word of God says, till death do us part. And we take our vows before the Lord. And here we find that here is a man in the book of Judges and in this chapter 19. And we find that it says he takes unto him a concubine. And there we find he takes unto him a second woman. And we see the heartache and we see the heartbreak that it brings into his life and into his family situation. And then you'll notice it goes on that as this young man has taken to him this concubine and she plays the whore and she goes after 4 months and she goes to her father's house and he's left there desolate. And as he's left desolate, it says in verse 3, and her husband arose and went after her to speak friendly unto her and to bring her again, having her servant with him and a couple of asses, and she brought them into her father's house. And when the father of the damsel saw him, he rejoiced to meet him, and his father-in-law, the damsel's father, retained him, and he abode with him 3 days, so that they did eat and drink and lodge there. And here we see him going into his, what he looked upon as his father-in-law's house. And when he goes into it, we find that he starts, and the father-in-law is delighted to see him. They start their partying. And they start their eating, and they start their drinking. And here's the second challenge of this day, friend. And it is a challenge of alcohol. Because we find here, it says, let thine heart be merry in verse number 6. In other words, they're drinking. And here's a father-in-law, and he wants to keep his son-in-law for a period of time, and he keeps him 3 days, and then the son wants to go. The Levite wants to leave him, and he says, no, stay on, and tarry all night, and let thine heart be merry in verse 6. And then in verse 9 it says, I pray thee tarry to an end, lodge here, that thine heart may be merry, and tomorrow get up on your way, and thou mayest go home. And there I see the second great challenge in this day in which we live, because, you know, friends, whenever we think about the drug problem in our society, and we can talk about cocaine, and we can rightly talk about marijuana, and we can talk about heroin, but there is one drug, friend, that society looks upon as acceptable, and society today makes it legal, and it is the drug of alcohol. For those that were down in the port yesterday, whilst we had a good day together, and thank God for keeping our young people together down on the beach, but on another beach, friend, the tragedy was this. We saw young people, let me tell you, and some of them were stoned completely out of their mind with alcohol. And it is so tragic to see today that society looks upon it and think of the deaths it causes on the highways. Think of the liver disease. Think of the addictions. Think of the misery it causes. And the heartache and the heartbreak that it brings. But society does not frown upon it, not at all, friend. Society frowns upon the person that takes a stand against it. And today you're nobody if you don't drink. Today you're nobody in society if you don't have a bottle in your hand. And the tragedy is our young people are being sucked into it. We read this morning in the book of Proverbs. And friend, the Word of God tells us just exactly what booze does. Go to Proverbs chapter 23. And it says in verse 29, and you can go to the end of the chapter, verse 35, it says, who hath woe? There's a sorrow factor. Who hath sorrows? Who hath contentions? There's the contention factor. Who hath babblings? There's the foolishness factor. Who hath wounds without cause? There's the wounding factor. Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, and they that seek mixed wine. Look not at thou upon the wine that is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright, at the last it biteth like a serpent, it stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of the mast. They have stricken me. Shalt thou say, and I am not sick? Thou hast beaten me, and I have felt it not. When shall I awake? And then notice the last statement. And I'll seek it yet again. Because you see, friend, there's the addiction to it, because the young woman is addicted to it. And even when they awake, I'll seek it yet again. You know, there's an old Chinese proverb. And the old Chinese proverb says this: first the man takes a drink, then the drink takes a drink, and then the drink takes the man. And the Holy Ghost says, look not, friend. Don't look at it. Don't get caught in it, because let me tell you this, when it moves itself aright, yes, it is very attractive. And today, my friend, we have a society that's going to hell. We have a society that's boozing itself to hell. We sang the hymn, Stand Up. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. And we've got to be willing to take our stand. And here's a young man, friend, let me tell you, and he wants to go. But he says, his father knows it. No, stay tonight. And make thine heart merry, wait until tomorrow. And whenever the third night came, he wanted to go. And when the fourth night came, he wanted to go. But his father says, no, stay on. Not how our young people are caught, friend. It's not how they're caught in the sins of this day and this generation. Oh, the folly of this young man deepens. And on the fifth day, it comes, and his father-in-law says, stay on. And he stays till the afternoon. And when it comes to the afternoon, his father-in-law says, stay tonight and then go early tomorrow. The young man says, no, I'm going. And so he takes his concubine, and he takes his servant, and he takes his asses, and he heads off, friend. But he's going from one tragedy to the next. Would to God that he had never taken the concubine in the first place. Now go on in the story, friend, because at the end of the drunken scene, he gets ready to go, and he makes his way. And on the fifth night, the young Levi decides he can stay no longer, and so he gets up verse 10. But the man would not tarry that night, but he rose up to depart and came over against Jebus, which is Jerusalem. And there was with him two asses saddled, his concubine also with him. And so he makes his way, and as he makes his way, he's coming near a place called Jebus. It's actually Jerusalem. You see, it was in the control of the Jebusites at that time. It was in the hands of pagans. And whenever they arrive there, it's getting dark. And when they arrive there, his servant said to his master, he says, Master, let's go into the city and let's stay the night. Levi said, no, we're not going to that city, because it's in the hands of pagans and it's in the hands of the enemy. We can't stay there. But he said, we'll make our way to Gibeah. It's in the hand of the Israelites. And therefore we'll be near at home. You see, there are dangers in the city of Jebus at this time, but of course Gibeah will be safe. So they make their way to the next city and they come to Gibeah. Friend, when they come to Gibeah, it's dark now. And as they come and make their way into the street, they've got food for their animals, yes, even for themselves, but they've no place to lay their head. And so they look around and they sit in the street. And as they sit in the street, hoping that somebody will invite them into lodge, but nobody wants them. Until an old man comes along. And when the old man, verse number 16, behold, there came an old man from his work, out of the field at even, which is also of Mount Ephraim, and he sojourned in Gibeah. The men of the place were Benjamites. And when the old man lifted up his eyes, he saw this wayfaring man, and he saw this woman, and he saw this servant, and he saw the two asses there sitting in the street, and he says, whither do you come, or where are you going? They said, we've come, or we're passing from Bethlehem, Judah, towards the side of Mount Ephraim, from whence am I? And we're going to the house of the Lord. But no man received us in. And you know, the old man, he said to them, he said, come in with me. He says, you dare not stay in the street. He says, listen, so he brought him in, verse 21, into his house, and he gave provender unto the asses, and they washed their feet, and they did eat and drink. For friend, let me tell you this, there was something this old man knew about the city of Gibeah, that he wouldn't let them stay in the street that night. You see, the Levite wouldn't go to Jerusalem because it was dangerous. But he didn't know the city of Gibeah was dangerous as well. And the danger in the city of Gibeah was something, perhaps it was different than even the city of Jerusalem, because the old man brought him in and he provided for him. And in the midst of their eating and their drinking, something happened, friend. Because outside the door of this old man's house, the group of men of Belial, they surrounded the house just as they did whenever Lot was in Sodom. And they surrounded the house and they demanded that they would bring the Levite out. And friend, here's the next sin. Because the first one was the sin of adultery. And the next sin was the sin of alcohol. Here's the next sin. It's the sin of homosexuality. I know that one of my colleagues got herself into serious trouble because she took her stand against the sin of homosexuality. And I know that they referred to the book of Leviticus and they concentrated in the Old Testament and what it says in the Old Testament in the book of Leviticus. Let me just simply, friend, very simply this morning, and I realize that time is going and time's away, but let me just show you some verses before we close. We've got to do this. In the book of Leviticus, chapter 18, because there are young people in this congregation, friend, and we have to be honest, and I do not walk away from these situations in this congregation. I know that many of our congregations do not touch in these things, but I have believe that if we have so many young people, I have to be faithful before God. In the book of Leviticus, chapter 18, in the verse number 22, it says this, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. Now that's what the Holy Ghost says. But let us turn to the book of Romans. And in Romans chapter 1, we read these words. Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things which are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, and they became fools. And they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the Creator more than the creature, more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use in that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lusts one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do it. Turn to the book of Jude. And in the little book of Jude, there is only one chapter. But in that one chapter, just let's read verse number 7. It says, even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. One last verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and the verse number 9. This is what it says in that verse. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceivers, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. We live in a day and an age when the prophecy of the book of Isaiah chapter 5 is very true. Isaiah chapter 5, I think it's the verse number 20. And it says there, woe unto them that call evil good, and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes, and prudent in their own sight. In the chapter 19, and I see the time is gone this morning, we'll see that sin after sin, even of this day and this generation, is evident before us. Friend, read the rest of the story, and it's a tragedy. Here we find the old man going out, and when he goes out, and he begs them not to do this thing. Now notice what the old man says about their sin, because we better get it as the Word of God gives it. Look at verse 23 of Judges chapter 19. And the man, the master of the house, went out unto them and said unto them, nay, my brethren, nay, I pray thee, do not so wickedly. That's what he called their sin. Seeing that this man is come into mine house, Do not this folly. Look at verse 24. Behold, here is my daughter a maiden, and her concubine, or his concubine, them I will bring out now, and humble ye them, and do with them which seemeth good unto you. But unto this man do not so vile a thing. That's what the old man thought of their proposition and their sin. He said it was wickedness. He said it was folly. He said it was vile. But friend, I see a sad thing here. I see an old man, he said, do not such a wicked thing, such a vile thing. But he says, here is my daughter. Here is my daughter. And he says, here is his concubine. Take them. That reminds me of the story in the book of Genesis chapter 19. For that's exactly what was offered. In the book of Genesis, the two angels came to Lot's home when he was down there in Sodom. And when Lot was down in Sodom, and whenever the two angels come in, and the men put forth their hand, and they sought to smash the door down, and they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But you know what Lot said? He said, take my daughters. You see, friend, there were no standards, no morality. And here they took that young woman and they abused her. In Judges chapter 19, and I read something else, friend. Was the Levite concerned about what was happening to the young woman, friend? Notice this. Go back to Judges 19. Verse 26, then came the woman in the dawning of the day, and she fell at the door of the man's house where her lord was till it was light. Verse 27, and her lord rose up in the morning. In other words, he went to bed. He didn't care. And let me tell you, we live in a society that is so blighted and cursed by immorality and so blighted and cursed by sin. And the truth is this, even God's children go to bed and sleep, but they don't care. They don't care. And notice what he did. He rose up and he opened the door. And when he went to the door, he saw the young woman lying on the doorstep and her hand was outstretched. Notice what he did. Verse 28. And he said unto her, up, let us be going. In other words, get up. Get up. But there was no answer. There was no answer. Why? She was dead. And I see her lying on the doorstep. And here's a sinful woman. And her hands reaching out to the door to get in. But our master lies on. Sleeps on. Doesn't care. You say you wouldn't have been like the old man to give their daughter. Let me tell you, friends, let me say this. Many fathers and mothers are giving their daughters to that kind of society. Many fathers and mothers are driving their children in their car and taking them to the places of the world. And they wouldn't take them to the children's meeting. They wouldn't take them to the youth fellowship. Many fathers and mothers sit back and they watch their children as they look upon the filth, upon the television screen, and they don't know what it is to turn it off. Many fathers and mothers, yes, they will watch their children as they walk down the street and it's pumping into their heads and into their minds the filth of the songs of the world. And many fathers and mothers will open their doors to unholy and ungodly relationships simply to make their children popular. They can't be different. The old man says, take my daughter or take her. Friend, let me say this as I close this morning. The world's reaching out to take our sons and our daughters. And the world wants to destroy them. And let me tell you, when the world has abused them and when the world has finished with them, let me tell you how they'll leave them. They'll leave them like that young woman lying on that doorstep, her hands stretching out. And the world will sleep on. And when our young people are lying in the gutter, with their nose in the gutter and the filth of this world and the sins of this world and the immorality of this world, the world will walk on the other side. You know, I saw those young people with hardly nothing to clothe them and walking down the street yesterday, I must confess, I realized that's somebody's daughter. That's somebody's son. Heard something this week, friend, that grieved my heart. How much further can we go? You know what happened this week? You know what's happening now? Young people are now arranging suicide holidays. And they decide to end it all. And they're arranging their last holiday. And at the end of their last day of the holiday, they're committing suicide. There's no depths of depravity too low. Parents, I beg you in God's name, please pray for your children. Get a burden for your children. And you older people, get a burden for your grandchildren. All the sins that are beckoning them, that are plunging them down into the depths of depravity. The Levite just simply up and let his big Owen. She didn't answer and he lifted her, threw her in the ass, took her home. And he cut her in 12 pieces and sent a piece of her to the 12 tribes. And with this I close. What's the word God say? Consider of it. Take a good look, friend. What's going on? Don't close your eyes to what's going on around you. Mother, in God's name, don't close your eyes. How many parents have said to me, preacher, I didn't know what was going on. Mother, because you didn't look. You didn't look. Take advice. That's what it says next. Where will I get it? From the Word of God, friend. Go to the book. Ask God for wisdom. Ask God for guidance. And then it says this. Speak your mind. In other words, take a stand. Take a stand. We have a generation going to hell. It's time we spoke up. But let me tell you, friend, remember this when you do. Don't expect the world to pat you on the back and don't expect the world to applaud you. Because they'll laugh at you, they'll mock you, they'll sneer you. They'll call you a crackpot. Your old hat, you're out of your depth. May God help us to take a stand. For Jesus' sake. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please God save this generation from the awful sins that are besetting it. Please God, save the children of this congregation. Oh God, put a wall around them, put a hedge around them. Oh Father, I pray that you'll spare our homes. Put a hedge around our homes and our God, please, God, and mercy and mercy and mercy, save our offspring. Don't let them go to hell. Please, God, help us to take a stand. For Jesus' sake.